Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking an Amen style sampler rack in Ableton Live 12 and pushing it way past a static break loop. The goal is to make the break feel performed, modular, and alive, using groove pull tricks as a real compositional tool rather than just a swing preset. If you produce drum and bass, this is a huge steal. The Amen is one of those breaks that can carry an entire track, but only if it has movement, tension, and contrast. We're going to shape feel, phrasing, and energy so the drums can breathe around the bass instead of just looping in place. First, start with a clean Amen rack. You can use drum rack or simpler in slice mode, and slice the break by transient. The key is to treat this like a playable drum phrase, not just sample playback. Split the break into useful roles: kick and snare body, hats and upper detail, ghost notes and fills, and maybe one crushed accent chain for extra weight. If you want even more control, separate the rack into multiple chains. For example, one chain can hold the main kick and snare, one can hold the top end movement, one can hold ghost notes, and one can hold processed accents. Then carve space with EQ8, a little low cut on the top chains, maybe somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz, and if the snare gets too sharp, a gentle notch in the 3 to 5 kHz area can help. The point is simple: build a rack that can shift and still breathe. Before you touch groove, establish the core feel. Program a simple 2-bar D&B pattern. Keep the snare on 2 and 4, place the kick to support forward motion, and add a few ghost hits around the backbeat. Keep this version dry and stable. You want a reference point before you start bending time. This is also the time to check your gain staging. Let the break peak around -8 to -6 dB before bus processing. If it's already slammed, groove changes will just exaggerate the mess later. If needed, add a little transient shaping in simpler or use drum bus lightly. A bit of transient boost can help the slices speak, but don't overdo it. In Amen work, clarity matters more than brute force. Now open the groove pool. This is where the lesson really comes alive. And remember, treat the groove pool as a performance layer, not a correction tool. We are not fixing mistakes. We are designing feel. Create a few groove options. One subtle shuffle with a swing around 54 to 58%. One looser break drift, maybe 58 to 62% with just a touch of random. And one tighter push, around 52 to 55%, with almost no randomness. Save them if you can, with names like clean push, late hats, broken roll, or fill drag. That makes it fast to recall different timing personalities while you're writing. Here's an important move: don't apply the same groove to everything. That's one of the fastest ways to make a break feel muddy or generic. Instead, apply one groove to the main snare and kick layer, another groove to the hats and ghost notes, and a different groove to the accent or fill layer. This creates a push-pull relationship. The snare can stay anchored while the top layers lean back or drift forward, and that contrast is pure jungle energy. A really smart workflow is to duplicate the same MIDI clip across multiple chains, then strip each copy down so it only plays its role. One clip carries the identity of the backbeat, another handles top-end movement, another handles ghost note flickers. Then you can audition different groove amounts on identical clips, without rewriting the rhythm. That's a fast way to hear feel changes. Now think in sections, not just loops. Advanced D&B is all about arrangement contrast. Maybe bars 1 to 8 are tighter and more controlled. Bars 9 to 16 open up a little more. Bars 17 to 24 get more shuffled and expressive. Then bars 25 to 32 tighten back up before the next drop or switch. That contrast is what makes the groove feel intentional. You're not just repeating the same Amen over and over. You're shaping phrasing. You're giving the listener the feeling that the drums are evolving with the track. One great method is to keep the core layer almost gridlocked and let the top layers move more. If the rack starts feeling too wobbly, anchor the snare and kick more firmly, then let the hats, ghost notes, and fills carry the motion. In darker D&B, that anchored backbeat gives the bass something solid to lock to, while the upper rhythm can get more expressive. Pay special attention to the space before the snare. In this style, the pocket leading into the backbeat often matters more than the backbeat itself. A ghost note sitting a little late before the snare can create tension without cluttering the groove. That tiny detail can make the whole break feel more expensive. As you build the section, try changing groove amount rather than changing notes first. That's an advanced habit worth building. If two clips have the same pattern but different groove strength, you can instantly hear how the feel changes without losing the identity of the phrase. This is especially useful when you want one section to sit back and another to lean forward. Once the MIDI feel is working, resample the groove variations into audio. This is a classic D&B move because it lets you commit to the vibe and do tighter edits. resample a few good bars onto a new audio track. Then use crop, reverse, consolidate, or even slice a new MIDI track if you want new fill material. If you warp, be careful not to flatten the natural pocket you just created. At this stage, a bit of saturator or drum bus can make the resampled layer hit harder. A few dB of drive, a touch of soft clipping, or some crunch on drum bus can turn a groove into a gritty punctuation layer. Blend that back under the MIDI rack, and now you've got both motion and weight. This hybrid approach is powerful. The MIDI version gives you flexibility and rhythmic life. The audio version gives you attitude, density, and finality. In darker jungle or heavier rollers, that combination is gold. Now let's talk about the relationship with the bass. The amen should not fight the bass. It should converse with it. If the sub is hitting hard on a downbeat, let the break answer with offbeat detail. If the bass sustains through a bar, let ghost notes or hat motion flicker around it. If the bass drops out for a fill, open up the break and let the top end motion breathe. Use utility to keep the sub mono and disciplined. Keep the kick and low end anchored in the center. Let the stereo character live in the upper percussion, the ghost notes, and the processed top layers. That's how you keep the groove wide without losing low-end focus. For the drop, contrast is everything. Start with the cleanest, tightest version in the intro, then let the groove open up as the drop evolves. A good strategy is to keep groove amount moderate in the first 8 bars, then increase it on the hats and ghost notes in the next section, then introduce a more aggressive shuffled fill around bar 17. After that, pull the feel back a little to restore punch before the next phrase. A light glue compressor on the drum bus can help hold everything together, maybe just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Add EQ if needed, a little drum bus for density, and maybe a subtle saturator for thickness. If you want the section to feel like it's opening up, automate small width changes only on the top layers, never on the kick and snare core. The final polish is in the micro edits. Drop out one kick before a fill. Drag a ghost snare slightly late. Lower the velocity of a hat slice. Add a reverse tail into a new phrase. These tiny details make the loop feel like it's evolving naturally instead of just cycling. Velocity is huge here too. Keep the main snare strong and consistent. Let ghost notes sit lower, maybe in the 20 to 60 range. Accent hats can live higher, around 70 to 100. That dynamic contrast helps groove pool feel musical instead of mechanical. And remember, if a section starts to lose punch, don't immediately rewrite the whole pattern. First, try reducing groove on the transient heavy slices. A tiny timing change on a snare or kick can affect the whole feel more than a brand new fill. That's the kind of move experienced DNB producers use all the time. A good advanced trick is to alternate groove every 4 bars. Tight for bars 1 to 4, looser for bars 5 to 8, then repeat with a subtle change. Or keep the kick and snare stable while the hats and shakers move more aggressively. You can even make one variation deliberately awkward on purpose, just to make the main loop hit harder when it returns. If you want to go darker and heavier, use groove contrast for menace. Keep the intro tight, then let the drop lean harder into shuffle. Pair delayed ghost notes with distorted bass stabs. Resample a heavily grooved layer, clip it harder, and use it as a gritty fill underneath the clean core break. One last thing. Don't forget the arrangement. The goal is not just a cool loop. It's a section that tells a story. Use one amen pattern, 3 groove states, and a few audio or sampled fills to create movement across a full 32 bars. Bars 1 to 8 should feel controlled. Bars 9 to 16 should add top-end motion. Bars 17 to 24 should have the strongest contrast. Then bars 25 to 32 should tighten up again with one last fill before the loop resets. That's the magic here. Groove pool is not just swing. In drum and bass, it's composition. It helps you make the break feel played, not programmed. It lets you shape the relationship between the drums and the bass, and it gives your track that living, breathing momentum that separates a basic loop from a real drop-ready arrangement. So build the rack, split the rolls, lock the backbeat, move the tops, resample the good parts, and let the groove tell the story. That's how you turn an amen into something modern, heavy, and alive.